patreon.com/thewalkoffpodcast. $4 a month gets you in there.
Baseball, Blue Jays, and more baseball. It's the walk-off with Scott Belford and Adam Mack.
This ball is crushed.
The Die Hard podcast for the casual fan.
And another one. My goodness.
The long wait is over, Mr. Mack. We've got things to talk about.
Yeah.
Man, yeah. And it's not that I didn't enjoy spring training, you know, because after a long winter, just any baseball is nice just to kind of quench that thirst. But after a couple of weeks, you're like, this doesn't matter. Give me something that really I can, you know, sink my teeth into. And it is here. I'm so excited, man. I woke up to a text from good friend of the show, right? Hey, commie, Joel messaged us and said, hey, boys, happy 2023 season to you. I got a couple messages from a couple buddies as well, and a Patreon member and longtime listener, Isaac, reached out and was just like, hey, it's here. What fast food are you getting during the game?
Yeah, well, it's an afternoon game, so it'll be lunch fast food today, which is good because I'm not supposed to be eating junk food right now, but my wife is working night shifts, so she's sleeping all afternoon.
You can do the secret lunch order.
Yeah.
Yes. All right. And I'm up north. I'm in Grand Prairie. I had a show here last night, and then I'm off to High Prairie.
You have no supervision.
My options are like no supervision, but my options are like Subway and A&W, right? That's the small town classic.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. I've got my order already. I have an A&W order that I live and die by, right? The poutine and the spicy habanero chicken. And I think I'm going to indulge in that. Yes.
Did you know there's more Subway franchises than any other fast food chain in the world?
I did not know that. But that does make sense because every little town in Saskatchewan, if they don't even have a gas station, they have a Subway.
It's the lowest startup cost for all the franchises because you don't need like a fryer or the ovens and stuff. So,
right.
That's a little piece of trivia for you.
Just a lot of shredded lettuce.
Yeah, a lot of shredded lettuce and a big toaster. So,
okay, we've got lots to talk about and actual things to get into here. We're not speculating anymore. Or, well, I guess we are speculating a little bit, but there's some stuff to sink our teeth into here. So let's get into it. We're going to talk the season beginning and just the things you and I love about this time of the year. We're going to get into the series preview. Of course, the Blue Jays are in St. Louis as we speak right now for a two-game set there. The April schedule is out. We're going to go over the Jays' next 10 games, and then we'll also look into their closest division rivals, the Yankees and the Rays. And then on top of that, we've got a list of over and unders. I know in the mailbag we mentioned that it might be fun to have some weird, fun, outside the box over unders, and we had numerous people reach out with stuff for us to do, and then we added a few of our own, so we'll get to that. Joey Gallo, it looks like he's going to be hitting lead off for the Twins. We'll dig into his numbers, and I know we did talk Jose Berríos and how much rope he might have in the mailbag, but I've had numerous people reach out being like, can you go a little bit more into depth there, like, because I said he has infinite rope and people were kind of pushing back on that. So we'll delve into that little tidbit there. All right. At Walk Off Podcast on Twitter, I know we've have some people reaching out being like, when you say DM us, like, what do you mean? So if you're on Twitter, you just go to the little mailbox kind of symbol there and you hit on it and you can just talk to us directly. Same thing with Instagram. I know this, some of the younger people listening right now are just like so annoyed by me going over this, but this is for, you know, old people like myself who struggle when people just, you know, put out stuff that you think everyone knows, right? Anyways, that's what DM means. Or you can even, I know, Bob, not Dunedin Bob.
Oshawa Bob?
Oshawa Bob. Yes, he has sent some emails. So if Bob, that's the way you want to get a hold of us, you can feel free to continue to email. That is fine.
Absolutely.
Season opener. All 30 teams in action today, my friend. And baseball fans are feeling it, dude. Twitter is a buzz. So I'm kind of curious, like, this time of the year, there's so much optimism. There's just so much optimism. As a baseball fan, even if your team sucks, you can just revel in the fact of being a little delusional.
Tied for first, baby.
That's right.
You're in a playoff spot as of today.
Toxic positivity. Yes. So what is your favorite thing about opening day?
Ooh, my favorite thing. Okay. Are you the kind of opening day guy that, like, you're watching baseball all day long? Like, you're watching even the games that don't mean anything to you. You're watching the Dodgers games. You're watching the Royals play just because it's something to do. Like, how into it are you?
If I wasn't on the road, yeah, I would probably be watching every ball game that I can on television. Right. But right now, all I care about is the Blue Jays and getting to my next town in time to check in for the game. And then
are you driving during the game today?
No.
Games at 2. You're good?
Yes, games at 2. So I'm getting out of here at 11:30. The next gig's only about 2 hours away. Give me 30 minutes to check in, get my snacks ready, get comfortable, and away we go, right? I've got it all planned. Don't you worry, Mr. Mac.
All right.
Yeah.
All right. Very good. Very
How about you? Are you going to watch ball all day, or is this a Blue Jays specific day?
It's not ball all day. It's a Jays game, and then it's work on the podcast back end of things kind of day. Yeah, I can't wait. It's good. I'll probably message my dad and get him to play a board game online with me because we're super nerdy. So we'll probably play a game of Carcassonne on the iPad and watch the Blue Jays game. So there you go. That's my day. That's 3 hours of my day. And I can't wait.
I love it, man. I love it. Honestly, I think my favorite thing about opening day, as silly as it sounds, is it kind of signifies the wait is over, right? There are now going to be 6 months of Blue Jays baseball.
Yeah, you're cutting out, Scott. I will carry the weight while you're away. It is an exciting day for me because I have a hard time faking my way through spring training. That's pretending that I really care about rough outing for Yusei Kikuchi. Barrios is looking good or not good. Chris Bassett roughed up. Like, it's just, it's hard. So it is nice to be like, oh, that home run for Vladdy counts. You know, that win matters. It's good. I'm really excited that it's here. Spring training is tough. I don't get into it for any sport. You know, I just want to get through it healthy.
Preseason doesn't matter, and it's tough to get into. It's like when you come out of the desert and you're just, not that this is something that has ever happened to me, but you know, in this metaphor, you know,
you went to Africa for
honeymoon. I've been in a desert. But
I grew up in Kamloops. That's a
that's desert.
We're desert people. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
For sure. We can call ourselves desert people, but we've never been the people who have been lost in the desert and seeing mirages of water.
No, that's
and then you come out, right? And there's just like, it's muddy water. That's what spring training is like to me. It's like, yes, I'm not going to die. You know, this is going to get me through until there's clean water, but
you're not sucking mud water through your shirt.
No, I'm just glad it's over. The mud water's done. Okay. Enough of our terrible metaphors and bad analogies. Let's talk the Blue Jays and the St. Louis Cardinals series. Pitching matchup for today is going to be a good one. Alek Manoah on the mound for the Blue Jays. Miles Mikolas on the mound for the Cardinals. Now, the St. Louis Cardinals, very, very comparable to the Blue Jays. I think there's a lot of similarities that you can draw here. Both teams won 93 games last year. The St. Louis Cardinals wound up playing in that wild card series, of course, against the Phillies. They wound up getting swept out too soon in their mind. Same thing happened with the Blue Jays. Both teams had home field advantage in these series. So it was a long winter for the Jays and the Cards. A lot of time to ponder what went wrong. And now they get a chance to start the season the right way.
Just my opinion. The two best infields in baseball.
I think you're right, man. I mean, there could be some arguments to be made here, but both incredibly defensively sound infields, I should say.
We're looking at the Cardinals. They have Paul Goldschmidt, obviously. MVP first baseman.
As good as they come.
Nolan Arenado at third base. Blue Jays are strutting out Vladdy and Matt Chapman.
Mm-hmm.
Probably a tier below each of those guys on the corners, but I would say edge goes to the Blue Jays up the middle with Bo Bichette. And who are we putting at second today? Is it Espinal?
I didn't see the batting order for today. Is it out? I don't think they released it yet. I was looking for it. They'll probably release it shortly, though.
All right. Well, you
by the time this is released, everyone will know. Yeah.
People are going to be so annoyed with us. This is great listening right now.
Either way, Tommy Edman is going to be up the middle for the Cards. He's playing both second base and shortstop throughout the season. He flips back and forth.
For whatever it's worth, lineups.com, which is a website I've never heard of until today. But I mean, they got the domain lineups.com. So they must be legit. They have Springer in center field leading off. Bichette, second. Guerrero, third. Kirk catching, of course. Then they got Varsho hitting fifth, Chapman hitting sixth, Brandon Belt, and then Espinal hitting eight, and Kiermaier hitting nine.
Okay, so Espy gets the start at second base. Good for him.
According to lineups.com, which...
Blame them, not us, if this is wrong. That's right.
Not us. There you go.
But that said, the Toronto Blue Jays have yet to release the lineup on Twitter, which they do every time that there's a game. So we just need to wait and see for the official lineup, I guess. But yeah, no, it should be a really good series, man.
Yeah. What are you thinking for the split here? Are we taking two of three? Is this going to be a tough series?
Well, it's only a two-game series.
Oh, it's not.
Oh, are they playing Sunday?
We play them Saturdays. We play them Saturday and Sunday, yeah. I've lost you again, Scott.
No, I'm here. I looked into this yesterday. I can't believe that they do play Sunday, but yeah, they do at noon. Okay, perfect. Awesome. Yep. Love it.
We got Manoah Miklas today, and then we got Gausman versus Flaherty Saturday, the stupid day off tomorrow. And then Bassett Montgomery on Sunday. So
I'm excited to see Chris Bassett in a regular season game with this team.
Me too.
Two of three? I'd take two of three. Like, obviously, the Cards are a really good team.
Yeah, I'd be thrilled with two of three. I mean, it's in St. Louis, so.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be a tough one, but Manoah, I feel good about Manoah. Let's look at Mike Miklas and his lines here. So 2022 regular season, ERA of 3.29, a whip of 1.03.
Yeah, Miles Mikolas has been a solid member of that rotation for years now. Kind of cool to see him get the opening day start for the Cards.
Yeah, very cool. Alek Manoah, of course, our close to Ace, not quite. Yeah. Here's the thing. I know Ace gets the term Ace gets bandied about too often. Where do you stand on the term Ace? Is it the number one guy in your rotation, or does not every team have an ace?
I feel like it's the number one guy in your rotation. However, yeah. I understand the argument that to be called an ace, you need a certain level, and not every team is going to have that. But in the case of the Toronto Blue Jays, for guys like Alek Manoah or Kevin Gausman, I think you can say ace with whoever is going to be.
Both of them? We think we have two aces?
I mean, I'm just going to, the way
I'm not arguing with you, I'm just.
No, I'm just saying the way I'm defining the definition, you only have one ace, it's whoever your best pitcher is. But, I mean, unless there's a hard definition of exactly what ace is considered amongst all MLB fans, then it's an irrelevant conversation.
I guess if you're watching this on YouTube, let us know your thoughts on what an ace is, because I don't know, for me growing up, it was always, yeah, just your number one guy is your ace. But I always grew up watching Roy Halladay, so he was an ace.
Yes, he was.
But yeah, I know some people are believers that no, the ace is like the Jacob deGrom type. It's the, when you're facing the other team, if they have an ace, you know that your guy has to be pretty well lights out, because you're not going to be scoring any runs against this guy. So I don't know. I kind of lean towards your definition, but
I do think that Alek Manoah is on the verge of being an ace, whatever definition you look at it. I do think that he does need to prove himself one more year for consistency reasons to be in that upper echelon of pitchers in MLB, right? To be in that top 10 rankings, that top five rankings. I think that he does need another finish third in Cy Young votes. If he does that again this year, Alek Manoah is a bona fide ace, no matter how you want to define the word.
Okay.
And as for Kevin Gausman, yeah, man, he's a borderline ace too, I think. On most rotations, he would be a borderline ace. I don't know if he's a straight up, you know, top guy, top five or 10 pitcher in the league, but there's arguments to be made he is, yeah, especially with his peripheral numbers. If you start looking into FIP, for those of you who forget, FIP is basically ERA, but it takes out the defensive and the stadium metrics. So it tries to just make it a more even playing field. So his FIP was one of the best in all of baseball.
There you go. All right. Let's look at the schedule in general, shall we?
Yeah, buddy. Let's take a look here. Obviously, we have talked numerous times about how important a strong start is for this Toronto Blue Jays team. Just with when you look at their history and the struggles they have had starting the season's hot, it's big. But even more so when you look at the New York Yankees, who truly do look to be the biggest rival for this AL East division. Okay, and I'm not – do baseball gods do not – show me any kind of spite and shove the Rays down my throat this year. I'm begging, okay? Like, I'm not taking anything away from the Tampa Bay Rays. Obviously, they're going to be in the mix, but the Yankees just seem like the team to beat. And truly, as we've watched Bad Tacos run rampant in this starting rotation, there's some hay to be made in April.
There's some hay to be made in April. I'm looking at our schedule here. So we got the Cardinals, we've got the Royals, the Angels, we got Detroit, Tampa, Houston, Yankees, White Sox, and Mariners to round out our April. It's
not a hard schedule, but it's not an easy schedule.
We only have three teams that were below 500 last year.
Yeah.
They come early. We got Royals, Angels, and Detroit. 28 games in April, including today in March 30th. I'm including today. We have 19 games before we face the Yankees. What kind of a record do you want at the end of April? 28 games.
I mean, if they can be 17-11, I'd say that's a pretty big success. They've started well, six games above 500. My guess is that the Yankees are below that, and we've got a couple games in hand going into May. I don't expect this team to go 20-8 in April and win the division in April. You can't win the division in April, but you can dang well dig a big hole and lose it. If they can come out, beat the teams they should beat, look good against the good teams, I think that's a success for April. Would love to hear what those of you listening think. 28 games in April, counting today, first in March 30th here, okay? 28 games until May. What do you think a success would be record-wise? And you can go ahead and drop that in the comments.
I'm going to go series by series and tell you what I want to see. Then we'll do the math on this. Cardinals, I want to win this. 2-1 this weekend. Royals, we have a 4-game series with. We should win 3 out of 4 games there. So 3-1. Angels, I want to sweep. Detroit, I want to sweep. I know sweeps are hard in baseball, but yes. I want to go 3-0. Then we got the Rays. 2-1 against the Rays, I'd be happy with. Houston, that's a tough one. Defending World Series champs. If we could take one win out of that, I'm going to be okay. I don't want to get swept by the Astros, but I don't expect to win that series. Yankees, I do think it's important we win that series. 2-1 is good. White Sox, Mariners, 2-1 against each of those. I want to win every series, and that gets us to 20-8.
Yeah. Yeah, no, obviously, if you come out of the gate like that, that is about as hot and as good of a start you can possibly have. If the Jays go 20-8, that is literally all of the stars aligning and everything going the way that we want it to go.
If we could take 2 out of 3 against the Cardinals, take care of business in Kansas City against the Royals, and then march through the Angels and the Tigers. That's 11-2 to start the season. Is that too ambitious for me to say I want to be 11-2 after our first 4 series, Scott? And I've lost Scott. Of course I've lost Scott. Anyways, I want to go 20-8, start the season. Anything less than that, I'm going to be frustrated with. Scott's completely gone. Scott's out of here. Scott is completely gone. He's as gone as it gets. Okay, well, that's been today's episode of the podcast. What can I say? Yeah, we'll see if Scott rejoins us here. Oh, I just want to faint right now. I'm so excited. I don't know if Scott's rejoining us or what. I guess I'll just give him a minute here. I'll just talk to the rest of you in Patreon until he gets back. And then there's the text message. That's Mr. Scott Belford. Scott says, "Fuck, I'm literally getting nothing. Sorry." That's bad language. Oof. You disconnected. Okay, well, we'll see. We'll see if he rejoins us here. All right, well, apologies to the Patreon, and we'll see if Scott hops back in. Scott says, yeah, I can't get any internet. Give me a sec. I'm so sorry, dude. Duck. Well, that's better language at least. Okay, well. We'll see if Scott is able to salvage this. We got a few other things to talk about here. We've got over-unders from the audience. Well, those are going to be fun. Our funnest stuff was coming up, so I don't really want to get into that without him. So I'll just stall here. Give you guys the quick and dirty rundown on what we're going to be talking about for over-unders. We've got, well, I guess you heard with pre-show portion, but we've got games played for Jansen and games played for Alejandro Kirk. We've got Jordan Romano saves. We've got Eric Swanson saves. We've got Bo Bichette, home runs versus steals. Yankees, Jays, bench clearings. Okay. Got Varsho home runs and bunt singles. All right, there you go. We've got Error Watch, Bo versus Volpe. We've got, oh, okay, Eric Swanson's innings pitched versus Teoscar's RBIs. All right, then we got Lourdes versus Dalton's home runs. Very cool. Very cool. Oh, holy smokes. Blue Jays schedule, depth chart, Joey Gallo nonsense. Joey Gallo, career batting average, 199. Oh, I did not get a good night's sleep last night. Oh, here's something exciting. My wife brought home eggnog, believe it or not. Eggnog back in stores, back on store shelves, I guess because of Easter. It's got a little purple and blue carton, which really just makes too much sense. Easter eggnog, how about that? I'm here for it. I am absolutely here for it. So whatever that's
fuck worth. Man, I'm sorry.
Whoa, language.
Oh, we're going still. All right.
We're going. Well, I had to keep it going for the Patreon. So, you know, we're going, Scott.
What a star you are. Man, I'm sorry. I've got it connected to my data now, so hopefully I'm all right here.
Well, we were just talking eggnog, my friend, believe it or not.
Okay, well, that's hard left turn.
That's how deep down the rabbit hole we went, which actually makes sense because it's Easter eggnog. Easter eggnog.
Oh,
right?
Look, I know, at my eggnog diversifying the seasons that they can get into.
Doesn't this make more sense than Christmas eggnog? Easter eggnog. It's right there. My wife brought home a purple and blue carton from work this morning. So I have a carton of eggnog.
Oh, lovely.
In my fridge. It's I'm so thrilled. But let's,
what a big afternoon you have ahead of us. You have ahead of you.
buddy, I know I got opening day and eggnog.
Secret fast food.
Yeah, absolutely. And a not so secret Easter eggnog. All right, let's talk over unders because okay. This is probably my favorite thing that we're gonna talk about today.
Yes, looking forward to this. We on the mailbag mentioned to you, the listener, to drop in the comments some fun over-unders we can do. Some fun, we got it marked down here as spy versus spy, right? So maybe a Lourdes versus Varsho for home runs, and that is one we're doing. But we had some really fun ones from some of the listeners, so let's get into it.
Let's get into it. Okay. First of all, we've got games played for Danny Jansen and games played for Alejandro Kirk. That's from Darth Yen.
Yes.
So is this, I assume, games played as catcher?
Yes. Okay. Behind the plate is what behind I would assume plate. As well.
As back catcher.
As he winked, audio listeners, he winked.
All right. Is this a spy versus spy? Is this a who gets more, or are we just doing over unders?
So he didn't give an amount of games played. I know that 80 is probably, should we go 81 as the over under? 162 games, who plays over half the time?
Yeah, I suppose. What's your call?
I'm going to go with Danny Jansen over 81 games played behind the plate.
Okay.
And I'm going to go, obviously, with Alejandro Kirk, because there's only 162 games. I need to go under 81 behind the plate for him. Where are you at?
I really want to give Danny Jansen the over here. Friend of the show, Danny Jansen. Only problem is the health concerns. 70 games at bat catcher last year. 70.
He winked again. No.
72 last year, 70 the year before. In 2020, he played 43 games at catcher. So out of 60, mind you. I don't know my confidence in Danny Jansen to stay healthy, man.
I don't either. And I was kind of just throwing the chance of bad tacos right out the window. Okay. I was just trying to eliminate all the variables. So let's qualify it this way. If both catchers can avoid bad tacos, 81 over under, where are you at on Danny Jansen?
Then it's for sure the over on Danny Jansen. He's got to get at least 60%, I think, of the games at catcher. I think it's a 60-40 split if they're both healthy.
I feel that might be too generous. Listen, there are a lot of people. I do wish to qualify how much I love Alejandro Kirk and think that he is a major cog in this machine that is the Toronto Blue Jays. And I think he's going to get his at-bats. They're going to find ways to get him into the lineup. This prediction has nothing to do with a Danny versus Alejandro type of scenario, right? And I know a lot of people take it that way. And a lot of people are Team Danny or Team Kirk. You can really like both players. And just because Danny Jansen's getting more games is no slight on Alejandro Kirk. Now, who knows? This could go differently depending on how they're playing as well. I think how each catcher performs is going to have a lot to say with this as well. Alejandro Kirk, defensive metrics are better than Danny Jansen's. Last year, Danny had not a great defensive season last year, but the one thing about Danny Jansen that is excellent is he is meticulous when it comes to the things that he would like to improve. In fact, we watched him come into camp this year a little bit more beefed up. He had his goals on hitting more dingers as one of the things on his list of things to do. But framing was also on there. I know when we talked to him, this was, what was it, Adam, back in January? It's irrelevant.
Yeah,
but just framing after his
son was born.
That's right, just after his son was born. So in January, and everything that he mentioned, he was taking the defensive side of games to the next level, right? It's not like it was off his radar that his framing had taken a dip from previous seasons. I know there's a lot of people who have lost confidence in Danny's defensive ability, which I think is a little bit overreaction. Personally, it's a little bit of an overreaction. he wasn't bad defensively last year. Kirk was just a little better. And I think if you look at his numbers, it will show that. I have good confidence in both those guys behind the plate, honestly, when it comes to the defensive side of the game. Where are you at on Danny's defense? Yeah?
Oh, yeah. I think he's a great catcher. Honestly, I think the only
thing... But we're both high on Danny Jansen.
Yeah, the only thing holding Danny Jansen back right now is that injury concern.
Yeah, staying on the field.
And this is my concern with our catching position in general is the wear and tear on Kirk concerns me. I don't have confidence in him. I'm not worried about getting hurt, but I am worried about him getting tired.
Yes, and that is a great point. In fact, I was just about to bring that up. If you look at his stats over the full 162 last year, Alejandro struggled at the end of August and all throughout September. Now, he was still probably a little bit above average offensively for a catcher, but it was a pretty pretty drastic step down.
Yeah, first half versus second half. Big difference in the splits there. I don't think he makes the All-Star game if the first half looks the same way it does in the second half.
I would agree with that, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. Danny Jansen, Alejandro Kirk, two great catchers.
I don't know two catchers, two catchers that are in almost every prediction of top 10 catchers in Major League Baseball for 2023.
Yep, absolutely.
Not a lot of teams. Well, there's no teams. The Jays are the only team that have two catchers in the top 10. So really, in all honesty, no matter how this coin falls, I'm going to be pretty happy about it. If Kirk winds up showing that he's incredibly durable, has gotten into better shape, and can endure the rigors of 162 and still really have that high-end performance that we're used to him at the plate in September, I'm all for him doing the over of 81 and Jansen being more of the backup catching role. However, I think no matter how this falls, both guys are going to get plenty of at-bats.
Yeah, right there with you. Okay, let's move on. Jordan Romano saves. Over under 40 saves for Jordan Romano.
Ooh, this is a good one. The Mark of Madman. The Mark of Madman with 37 saves in 2022, a career high, but he kind of carved himself into that top closer conversation, right? He put his name on that board of the top five closers in baseball last year, I think. He may not be the very top echelon, but he's in the conversation. I'm going to go with some toxic positivity here. And despite the fact that 40 is a mega number.
Only two pitchers got there last year. Manuel Clase and Kenley Jansen.
I think that this is a better Blue Jays team this year, which is going to allow for a few more save opportunities. And I think that he's going to continue to perform like he did last year. And it should just push him to that 40 mark, maybe a little over. So I will take the over.
I like it. I like your reasoning. I agree with you, but it's making me feel the opposite way. I think this is a better team, which I think leads to fewer save opportunities.
Ooh, hey, how's that? I like that.
How's twist. That, Scott? All right.
They're going to go into the ninth inning with more games, four or five runs up, Adam says. I love that, buddy.
Absolutely. Okay, I'm taking the under there on Romano saves.
Drop in the comments, by the way, what you folks think. Would love to hear from you. We've got a big mailbag planned for Tuesday as it's the start of the regular season. So I know our comments are going to be very bulky, if you will, and we'll get plenty of them. So feel free to drop yours in the comments and what you think on these over-unders.
Okay, sticking with the saves, we got Eric Swanson, newly acquired Eric Swanson, saves over under 10.
Ooh.
These really should be and a halves, right? Because
yeah, they should. They should. We're doing it wrong. We're
amateurs here. Yeah, that's right. All right. Over under 10.5 saves, Eric Swanson.
I am very excited about Eric Swanson. Of course, he was the big high leverage reliever the Blue Jays picked up in that Teoscar trade that kind of shook the foundations of the Toronto Blue Jays fan base. I am going to go with under here. And it's not that I don't think that he is going to be incredibly instrumental in this 2023 season, and especially come the playoffs. I think having that high leverage arm that you can rely on before going to Romano in the eighth inning is incredibly important. And it gives a few more options back there outside of Jimmy Garcia. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to go under, but I think it's just because they kind of have Romano pigeoned as that ninth inning guy. And most of the save opportunities are going to go to him. Will Swanson pick up a few? Yes, he will. Right. Maybe there's back-to-back, you know, night to day games where Romano's just not available. And I think we will see Swanson pick up some saves, but I'm going to go just under 10.
Yeah, I think he'll pick up a few, but I think it's going to be closer to 5 than 10. I'm going way under Eric Swanson. Okay. Next one, we got Bo Bichette. This is an ambitious one.
Mm-hmm.
Bo Bichette, 30 home runs, 30 steals, 100 RBI.
Should we go each one or all three? If it's all three, I'm under.
Let's do each one then, because yeah, otherwise it's for sure an under. It's an MVP MVP season if we're doing all three. So let's do it each one. 30 home runs.
I'm going 30 over.
You're going over. Okay.
And just for everyone's knowledge, Bo Bichette has yet to have a 30 home run season.
This is correct. I'm looking right now. It looks like 2021. He had 29 home runs. He had 24 last year. 30 would be a career year in terms of home runs.
But I'm going to say that this is the year that we see Bo Bichette break that 30 plateau.
Okay. I'm taking the under. I do think he has a great season, but I see him being like 27.
Okay.
Stolen bases. 30.
Okay, so bigger bases this year. They are trying to, and by they I mean Rob Manfred and the Major League Baseball brass, are looking to increase the amount of stolen bases. The pickoff rule, all of this stuff is just leading up to me saying still under. I don't think Bo Bichette's going to steal 30 bases this year. I don't know if he'll steal 20. Now, if we're talking, will there be a guy on the team who steals 30 bases? I do think that's a possibility. Maybe a Dalton Barr show, but I don't know. I don't think Bichette's that guy.
I don't think so either. 30 is an ambitious number. Career high is 25 for Bo Bichette. He had 13 last year. He's got the speed, and I just don't think that's his focus. I don't think.
Yeah.
He's going to hit too many doubles, I think, this year.
Also, another thing to keep in mind when it comes to Bo stealing is that he's hitting in front of Vladdy. Like, you do not wish to run into an out when you've got... Agreed. The type of hitter that is Vladimir Guerrero Jr. coming up. That's
a great point with Vladdy right behind him. So, Bo Bichette, stolen bases way under 13 last year. I would say...
He might steal 20 this year.
So, okay, he had 21 stolen base attempts last year. He was caught stealing 8 times. So, I mean, if you just say he doesn't get thrown out with the bigger bases, and I'd hear that argument. But I still think, I mean, the point you made with Vladdy behind him, I think he's Yeah, I don't even think he gets 20. If he got 15 this year, I'd be kind of surprised. I wouldn't be surprised by 15. Sorry. I think it'll be around 15.
Like, if I'm John Schneider, I'm taking him aside and I'm saying, you do not have the green light. You check with us before you decide you're going to try and take second base.
Absolutely. That being said, I do think some of the tertiary players are going to steal a lot. I do think this is going to be an aggressive ball team.
But yes.
Maybe not so much in the stolen bases category, but maybe in the
first to third
and scoring from second. And yeah, I think there's going to be some aggressive base running that won't necessarily show up in the stolen base column. So there you go. Okay. RBIs. 100.
I'm going to say over.
Okay. He hit 102. I'm going to say over. 2021. That's a career high. He hit 93 last year.
I think one of the big things that's going to benefit Bo Bichette this season is how much stronger that 7 through 9 mm-hmm. in the batting order is this season. There's going to be more ducks on the pond, which is just going to equate into more runs batted in for Mr. Bo Bichette.
I like it. I like it a lot. I like the speed of the 7, 8, 9s as well.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if he's coming up with, you know, one out and Whit Merrifield on second base, and that's happening consistently, or Kevin Kiermaier, or
you know,
go down the list,
or Dalton Varsho, whoever it is. Like, there's some real speed at the back end of this batting order.
The only thing standing in his way of that is George Springer vulturing the RBIs right in front of him, right? So might be George Springer vulturing those RBIs. But okay, that's it for Bo Bichette. Next we've got Yankees Jays bench clearing brawls. The number is 2.
So let's call it 2.5.
Sure.
I don't know. Let's take the word brawl out and just bench clearing.
So what, a guy leaves the dugout and stands at the top step?
Well, how often do we see an actual brawl? Like, not even once a year normally, but like the bench is clear and they'll go out up to the mound and all talk and stuff.
Well, this is, all right, fine. Yankees, Jays, bench clearing, loud talking.
Okay.
Chest into chest.
You can call it brawl if you want, but I just can't.
No, I'm doing a separate category afterwards for brawls.
Okay.
We'll set the over under at 0.5 if that's what we got to do.
Okay. I like this. So let's go bench clearings, Yankees, Jays, 2.5. Listen, there is some smoke in this rivalry. We watched Gerrit Cole get in the face a little bit of Alek Manoah. And then Alek Manoah said, well, if you wanted to come past that, I forget what the emblem on the field was, but he was basically like, well, cross the line then, see what happens. I know the Yankees don't like Alek Manoah. The Yankees don't like Vladimir Guerrero Jr., who, whenever he gets an opportunity to take a little jab vocally, he does. Mm-hmm. I think it's very likely this is an over. I'm going to go over that we'll see the Yankees and the Jays at least 3 times this season. Everyone on the field.
Okay.
Where are you?
Yeah, it's I guess I'll take the over. Like, if it's just bench clearing. Yeah, I'll take the over. I guess there's a lot of hatred between these two squads. Yeah, we'll take the over there. As far as brawls go.
Over under 0.5. Will there be fisticuffs in the 2023 season versus Yanks Jays?
Boy, do I want to take the over.
I'm taking the under. I'm going under. I don't think it's going to happen. I think the risk of injury, I think how important these games are, I just can't see it happening. But who knows, man, when the ires are high and the anger is high, sometimes what's best for the team gets kind of thrown to the wayside.
I want to see a full-on jersey pull, NHL-style jersey pull. Yeah, I'll take the under. It's, I mean, over under 0.5 brawls in the MLB this year.
Yeah.
You're probably taking the under, right?
I'm probably taking the under.
So
it happens. I mean, we all know it happens, but
you watched it with Seattle last year. Was it Seattle and the Angels?
Yeah. But
that might have been the only one.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. The only memorable real brawl. Okay. Let's move on from there then. Bench clearings 2.5 for taking the over. Okay, Dalton Varsho, the new kid in town, 25 home runs and bunt singles, 5.
Okay. So let's go home runs first.
Sure.
So let's go 25.5. So does he hit 26 home runs or more? He hit 27 last year with the Arizona Diamondbacks in a cavernous Chase Field, a pitcher's park. Listen, there's a lot of pressure on Dalton Varsho. He was traded for some real fan favorites in Lourdes Gurriel Jr. And of course, the top prospect in the Blue Jays system last year, Gabriel Moreno. I can see either happening. I'm going to stick with this toxic positivity we're doing, and I'm going to go over on this. But honestly, I think it's going to, if the number was 20, I would say over confidently. But 25, we'll see, especially with the fact that he's probably, and it depends where he winds up in the lineup, but if he is hitting, let's say, 7th, like he's proposed to be lined up today, there's fewer at bats. But I will take the over.
Yeah, I think I don't know. I know I bet on it last year. There's going to be a lot of 30 home run hitters on this team.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of guys with 30 home run potential, right? When we go down the list, it's Springer, it's Bichette, it's Chapman, it's Dalton Varsho, it's Vladdy, obviously. Belt could be a 30 home run guy if he gets enough at bats out of the DH role. Yeah, Dalton Varsho, I'll take the over on that.
Okay.
27,
I think. I like it.
Okay. Bunt singles, Dalton Varsho.
Over under 5.5. So Dalton Varsho last year had 7 bunt singles, which was more than the entire Toronto Blue Jays team combined. I'm going to go with the over here. And I do think that it might be because Dalton Varsho, if you looked at his numbers last year, he was a hot and cold guy. When he was hot, he was hot. He was hitting dingers, putting up big numbers. But when he was cold, one of the things that he can do down a bunt. Slump busters. Exactly. So I think he is going to pull off an over 5.5 on that. He's got speed. The guy has speed.
Right, I like it. Dalton Varsho, bunt singles, 5.5. I'm going to take the under.
Okay. Which isn't a bad thought, Adam, because, I mean, he is coming from a National League team to an American League team. The Jays have never been a team that have really utilized the bunt all that much. In fact, as fans, I think we can all attest to how frustrating sometimes it is watching somebody on this team be called to bunt and then just out on a
here's what I was gonna say. Here's what I was gonna say, because we talk quite a bit about the fact that no one can bunt on this team. We talk about the platooning potential of Dalton Varsho when it's a lefty starting the game because he doesn't have the best lefty splits. I would say sacrifice bunts, Dalton Varsho, over under 5.5. I might be tempted to take the over.
The guy can bunt, and this is a huge hole in this Toronto Blue Jays skill set.
An eighth inning, we got to manufacture runs in a tie game situation. Like, I could see Dalton Varsho being brought in to pinch hit and lays down a bunt just to get that runner over from second to third. You know, like, I could see it.
I can see it too, buddy. I don't know if I would take the over on 5.5 for bunt sacrifice bunts, but it's ambitious.
Blue Jays successful sacrifice bunts over or under 5.5. I'd take the over on that, right?
I'm taking over on that. Okay. And most of them might be from Dalton Varsho.
That's where I kind of feel like, yeah. So, okay. Let's talk spy versus spy here now. We got Schneider versus Walker. Times tossed this year. So we had to look this up. We had to look this up beforehand, before we started recording here. League average is like 3 ejections per team a season, right?
Correct.
So who do you think gets tossed more?
It'll be John Schneider. I mean, last year, Pete Walker was tossed because he is very vocal when his pitchers are taking bad calls from the umpire. However, I think that John Schneider, like when Pete Walker was tossed, Charlie Montoyo was the manager.
Mm-hmm.
I think John Schneider is a little bit more hot-headed. I think John Schneider is a little bit more vocal than Charlie was and a little more prepared to get out there and get in the face of some umpires. If he thinks that it's going to strategically benefit the team to go to bat for them at that moment. So I pick John Schneider as being tossed, and I think it's not even going to be close.
Yeah, I'm with you there. Yeah, I think we hit a well over 3 ejections this year for John Schneider. Above league average ejections, I'll say.
Okay.
Okay, next we've got Error Watch. This is Volpe versus Bichette. So the new rookie in New York.
So Anthony Volpe, highly touted. He has been at the top of Baseball America's top 100 prospects for a couple of years now. Most Yankees fans have been salivating over this kid for a couple of years now. I know that there was a lot of IKF bashing Isaac Kanea Falafel, who was, Isaac Kanea Falafel. I think falafel. I always think of him as the falafel man. I know it's not pronounced that way, but it looks like it. But anyways, irrelevant. IKF got a lot of heat last year. And a lot of it had to do with the fact that, yeah, he was just an average shortstop and they had this stud in the minors and Yankees fans were getting impatient. Listen, Jays fans, we have watched the growing pains of a developing young shortstop over the last 3 or 4 years. It has been frustrating. And obviously, every player is different. However, there is going to be some growing pains at shortstop as a major leaguer for Anthony Volpe. There's just going to be.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that Adam and I have already talked about, we both feel as if this is the year that Bo Bichette truly does take a step forward defensively. I'm not saying he's going to be a gold glover. I'm not saying that he's going to be considered a top 10 shortstop defensive in the league, but I do think he's going to be an average shortstop this year. I don't think that the error numbers are going to be quite as eye-popping, and I don't think that we're going to see quite the amount of frustration from the fan base with him this year. I think that the elimination of the shift and him needing to stay in his area is going to help him. And I also believe that as he has gotten older and just with more experience, isn't going to rush some of these throws that he has in the past. That is the dream anyways. So I am going to take that Anthony Volpe winds up with more errors than Bo Bichette this season as a rookie shortstop? First time for a full season in the major leagues.
Yeah, I'm with you. Bo Bichette, 7 errors in his rookie season, played 42 games. In 2020, had 3 errors.
Yeah, he looked good in 2020.
A short 60 games, but still. 2021, he had 24 errors. 2022, he had 23 errors. So that was last season. Over under 20 and a half errors for Bo Bichette this year.
Under.
Under? Yeah, me too. I think he's in the
15 range.
Yeah, I was going to say low teens. I was going to say maybe 11 or 12 errors for Bo Bichette this year. And I think he plays 159 games. I don't want to be too ambitious here, Scott, but
I know.
I really think MVP season for Bo Bichette. I think as
I really believe that this is the year that Bo Bichette becomes a top 10 player in Major League Baseball. And so if we're going to state stuff like that, then I think it's safe to say he has to defensively be between that 10 to 15 error range. He has to be. Because if he's over 20, he's not going to be a top 10 player in Major League Baseball. The defensive end of the game matters too much.
Okay. Eric Swanson, this is a fun one. Eric Swanson, innings pitched versus Teoscar Hernandez, RBIs.
Ooh. Yeah. Now, by chance, can you quickly pull up how many RBIs Teoscar had last year and how many innings pitched Eric Swanson had?
I can, if you can keep talking.
Nope, this is just dead silence. Everyone on the audio can just... understand how comfortable we are right now.
Let it breathe.
No, but honestly, Teoscar Hernandez, I like this versus because Teoscar Hernandez, obviously the piece that moved to Seattle to get Eric Swanson, this big back end of the bullpen piece that the Blue Jays have needed for, well, I mean, they've needed bullpen help for a long time. Adam Macko was the prospect coming back in that trade. Adam Macko ranked as the Blue Jays' number 10 prospect in their system. So a very, very viable prospect to keep an eye on, right? Like he's a guy that the development system within the organization in Toronto is excited about. And he was a dude that they really wished in the system for a couple of years. So they had their eyes on him. And I think that when they went to the, I think he's who swayed the deal.
Okay, so we got stats pulled up here. Eric Swanson, career high, 58 innings pitched in 2019. Right. 53 last season. Teoscar, 77 RBIs last season.
Okay.
116 the year before.
I got to go with Teoscar on this one.
Yeah, it's not a very fair comparison here, I think.
I do think that we are going to see more innings out of Eric Swanson than he has. I think he will have a career high this year. I think he will break that 60-inning plateau. I do believe that he is going to be one of the go-to guys for John Schneider and Pete Walker when it comes to high-leverage situations. However, Teoscar has such a big bat, and in the middle of that Seattle order, where he's going to be given plenty of opportunities to drive in runs, I think Teoscar hits over 100 RBIs again this season, if he can stay healthy. And that was one thing last year. He did have some injury trouble.
Yeah, I'm just looking at pressing buttons I shouldn't be pressing here. It's such a low watermark.
Yeah.
To think like a great, like a really successful season out of Eric Swanson, like you said, is going to be 60 innings, right? Mm-hmm. Jimmy Garcia last year had 61 innings. Like, that's a pretty good innings total.
It's a pretty good watermark. It's a pretty good idea
for a relief pitcher, right? Jordan Romano, 64 last year. I just can't see Teoscar, if he's healthy, getting less than 70 RBIs.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's an over, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, you're taking Teoscar. I get it.
Taking Teoscar. Okay. Okay. Now we've got Lourdes home runs versus Dalton Varsho home runs.
This is an interesting one. This is an interesting one because Lourdes has never been one that power has been one of his main tools. Now, 2021. Unless the bases are loaded, and look out. Probably just walk them and take the one run. So last year, Lourdes really took a step back when it came to his home runs. Now, his average was much better. He was getting way more contact, hitting singles, getting on base. His on base percentage was better. However, if you go back to 2021, I think he had 21 home runs.
21 home runs in 141 games for Lourdes Gurriel Jr. Yes.
So Lourdes does have some power. He has been a 20 home run hitter in the past.
Hey, in the COVID shortened season, through 57 games, he had 11 home runs.
So Lourdes can go deep.
You know, that's a 30 home run pace that he had in the shortened 2020 season.
Now, Lourdes's big thing is he is hot and cold, but so is Dalton Varsho. So we need to get used to the cold spells that Dalton Varsho is going to have throughout this season. I just think that Dalton Varsho is going to win this one. I think that he just has more natural power than Lourdes does. Lourdes is going to have a much better batting average. But I think when it just comes to home run versus home run, yeah, I go with Varsho on that.
Yeah, I do as well. It's not even close, in my opinion. I really think that by the end of the season, I mean, oh, this is such a weird trade comparison. To just compare,
yeah,
Lourdes and Varsho, you're really discounting the fact that, oh yeah, Gabriel Moreno was like probably the real
reason that, yeah,
in that trade. But I mean, if we're just comparing two outfielders, I think night and day, you end up looking at those two and you go, well, Dalton Varsho, way better.
Mm-hmm.
Offensively, and for sure
defensively. And for sure defensively, yeah.
By the end of the season. So yeah, I don't know. It's for sure taking the over or the Varsho on that. This is a complicated, messy comparison.
Versus, here.
I'm really butchering this. Okay. How much rope? I guess we're moving on to the new topic.
New topic here, and this is something, Adam, that we brought up a little bit on Mailbag. We didn't get too into it, and I only put it as a topic here because there were I got three different DMs, and I figured that you were probably getting messaged about it too. So we were talking about how much rope the Bearded Dragon has in that number five spot, Yusei Kikuchi. And then we sort of touched on Jose Barrios. You asked the question, how much rope do you, Scott, think that Jose gets? And I said infinite rope.
Yes, it's now, a loop of rope. It is a loop of rope.
A loop of rope. So there was some pushback from some listeners, and they were like, how do you mean infinite rope? Like, they're just going to continue to throw them out there and lose? No, that's not what I mean. Listen, we watched the Blue Jays front office get thrown in the deep end of the pool and then need to tread water and try and figure stuff out last year with Yusei Kikuchi. And I think that if if Berríos really is struggling to the levels that he was last year, we watched the Jays do the same sort of thing with him, right? Yes, maybe they will find an injury where he needs to go rehab and then work his stuff back out in AAA. I don't know if there were, you know, like we saw this with Kikuchi a few times last year where it's like, is he injured or is he just like doing so poorly the Jays are trying to find any way to be able to see if they can get him right. So yes, if the sky is falling, worst case scenario, Jose Berríos is absolutely horrible. 5.5 ERA. He looks like the pitcher from last year. And John Schneider and Pete Walker are pulling their hair out going, we're just losing every fifth game because of this guy. Yeah, they're going to figure something out. But Jose Berríos is a part of this team long term. There's nothing that can be done about that. We need to cross our fingers and hope that he gets right and returns to his career average numbers because he is under contract for 6 more years. He has an option in 4 years where it's up to him if he takes it, and the contract is backloaded. So most of that money, almost over 50 million of it, is coming in those final 2 seasons. So he will absolutely take the option, especially if he is pitching poorly.
Last year, we did a head-to-head with Jordan Romano saves and Vladdy home runs. We kind of both agreed that for this to be close, it probably meant Vladdy had a down season more than it meant Romano had an all-time season, right? So I'm going to do something similar this year, but more of an apples to apples comparison. Jose Berríos, innings pitched versus Yusei Kikuchi, innings pitched.
Ooh, I like this. The two big question marks in this Blue Jays starting rotation going head to head for how many innings?
Now, do we think that, because on the one hand, maybe Berríos is good again. But maybe so. Yeah, I don't even know what I'd root for in that.
Yeah.
No. I mean, part of me wants to root for Yusei Kikuchi, because if he has more innings pitched than Jose Berríos, you're like, wow, Yusei Kikuchi found it. Or Berríos really struggled.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. That's a messy comparison.
It's a messy comparison. Let us know what you think in the comments, folks. All right, buddy. We're getting long in the tooth here. Let's wrap up on a non-Blue Jays topic, all of our least favorite player, or at least mine. I know I'm biased here, by the way, but I don't like Joey Gallo. But Joey Gallo, now a member of the Minnesota Twins, and it looks as if he is going to be hitting leadoff in Minnesota, according to manager Rocco Baldelli, and the lineups that he has put out this spring when it comes to right-handed pitchers. Joey Gallo has been hitting in that leadoff spot, and he hasn't looked half bad. Listen, Joey Gallo, this is a make it or break it season for him. If he has another year comparable to last year, I don't think he's a Major League Baseball player anymore. Now, the dream of the Minnesota Twins is that this shift ban is going to help him considerably. It's a wait and see thing. Where are you at on Joey Gallo, dude? Do you think he can recapture that spark he had in Texas?
I mean, Joey Gallo is a weirdo for me because he's got a career batting average of 199. Like, the guy has almost 800 games in Major League Baseball and a career batting average of 199.
Unreal.
Yeah, it's unreal. It's unreal.
I am so glad the Jays went with Brandon Belt and not Joey Gallo.
Yeah, me too, I guess. I wonder what the all-time MLB leaders for games played with a career batting average under 200 is?
Somebody who's smarter than us, figure this out. Drop it in the comments. Give us a list of the most games played by dudes who have the worst batting average.
There you go.
Because Joey Gallo's got to be up there, man.
He's got to be up there. He's got to be up there for sure. So it's like Brett Favre leading the NFL in interceptions. It's like he's the all-time interceptions leader, but you almost got to be good to be able to throw that many bad passes.
Yeah, that's right.
I don't know. Joey Gallo, it's, 199 career batting average. Just impressive.
Listen, Joey Gallo, when it comes to on-base percentage, he takes his walks. Always has. But to have him hitting leadoff, it's a bold move. It's a bold move with a man who hits under 200 career.
Career 160 last year. Career under 200.
160 last year. Just disgusting. Anyways, as a Jays fan, I am glad that he is in Minnesota.
Are the Twins good this year?
Isn't that the question, Adam? Are the Twins good this year?
Look, I was looking at the MLB standings. I can say the MLB standings, right? The sure, standings buddy. Of the MLB, the Major League Baseball standings. Yeah, that works. Okay, I found it. Minnesota fell off towards the end of the season last year. I think they finished, 15 games back or something of Cleveland.
Yeah.
Ran away with it. But as of September 4th last season, they were tied with Cleveland at 68-64. So Twins, man. I don't know.
And they are in a weak division outside of Cleveland. They really could challenge for that division this year, bringing back Carlos Correa. They've did some interesting things with their pitching, bringing in Tyler Molly. We'll see what happens here. I think the Chicago White Sox are taking a step back this season, especially after the bummer news about Liam Hendricks and the Big C. All the best to Liam, obviously. You just hope he can get better. But yeah, that's a big hit for that White Sox organization. And I think that there is a little bit of turmoil within the ranks there. We'll see what happens as the season goes on. But I do think the White Sox are not going to be quite as competitive this season. The truth is, when it comes to the White Sox, most White Sox fans were pretty disappointed in their performance last year, right? They came into the year trying to pick to win that division. And now I would say, I don't think they're even going to contend for that. I don't know if they'll be an above 500 team, but we'll see. That's the beautiful thing with today, right? Opening day. All the optimism for all the fans is allowed to happen. So if you're a White Sox fan, bathe in it while you can.
There you go. All right. Well, good luck to you in Grand Prairie.
High Prairie. Okay. Yes. Well, thank you so much. All of you in the walk-off community, you truly are appreciated. Enjoy today. Opening day, baby. Have fun. Get your snacks ready. Go Blue Jays, go. Cheers, everybody. We'll see you Friday.
Thanks for listening to the Walk-Off Podcast with Scott Belford and Adam Mack, with a new episode every Friday.
Oh! With a drive. Cheese and crackers. Shows to pitch to him.
Thanks for listening.